Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I want you all to listen up. This is important stuff, all right?
Okay. Here we go.
The Bald-Faced Truth.
Call 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750 or text to 64636.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a Bald-Faced Truth.
John's waterproofing. This is the basement crawl space, mold problem, basement finishing, waterproofing, all things basement-y experts. We put a vapor barrier in our crawl space. We encapsulated it. We had some standing water under a home we owned. And it made all the difference in the house. Change the smell in the house. So even if you don't see standing water, if you think something's musty or moldy, give John's Waterproofing a chance to show you what they can do for you. If you've got standing water or you have questions about mold or health issues, crack repairs, structural repairs, vapor barriers, John's Waterproofing can do it all. You can find them online at bettercrawlspaces.com. Bettercrawlspaces.com. Go there right now. If you go there, you will understand what I'm talking about. This is a company that is doing it at a high level, and they've done it for a whole long time. John's Waterproofing. I've used them. You should as well. Bettercrawlspaces.com or 877-526-8141. That's 877-526-8141. Bettercrawlspaces.com. Gina Mizell of The Oregonian had a great piece on Oregon Live today. Before we get to Gina, I want to finish up this Luke Heimlich thing. As the baseball draft is ongoing, he has not yet been picked. And Darren in Beaverton is called in. What's up, Darren?
Yeah, I heard your earlier caller about saying that not all sex offenders need to be registered or something to that effect.
No, I just said all sex offenses are bad. Of course, to different degrees. When I see a molestation involving a 4-year-old girl, I put an exclamation point by it. That's what I said.
Oh, yeah. Well, I absolutely agree. But you had a caller call in that said that somebody got forced to register as a sex offender just for pulling over and relieving himself after hours around a school. I've been in law enforcement 26 years. There's no way in the world something like that would happen.
Yeah.
People are made to register as sex offenders for a reason. And it's because they're predatory. Now, granted, there may be cases out there that are open to suggestion, but just by listening to somebody say that somebody's going to have to register as a sex offender for the rest of their life just because they're relieving themselves,
yeah,
there's got to be more to the story.
Agree.
And
it's one of those things people say when they're sitting around having a beer and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're idiotic, yeah, and inebriated, and they say things like that.
I totally agree.
Darren, thank you for calling in to set the record straight. 503-417-7575. That's why you come to the show. You may relieve yourself. Don't do it in public. Please don't do it in public. And somebody listening, like I've over the years, some people are passive listeners. They don't comprehend everything we say. They say, oh, Canzano said you can relieve yourself in public. It's not a problem. It's not going to be a crime. It's not what I'm saying. Gina Mizell of The Oregonian joining us. I work with a safety net sometimes, but not here, Gina.
Definitely not. Yeah, that was, I feel like I just jumped into a conversation at the wrong time. But how are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well. That's why you have to listen 24/7. You should be locked in here daily. Gina, you do a good job covering Oregon State. Before we get to today's story, I find it weird that Oregon State hasn't really made a comment that, you know, besides the statements that they've issued, and it feels like there's a little bit of a fracture going on inside the athletic department. How do you read this Luke Heimlich thing, and how do you see it from your view?
Well, yeah, from my view, you know, I was at the game on both Friday and Saturday, so I obviously heard Pat Casey's comments after both of those games, both in defending Luke on Friday, and then on Saturday when he said that he has not read, at least at that point, had not read the story or any, you know, of our coverage of it, and also had not read the court documents that ultimately led to the story that we wrote. So I'll be curious to see how this is addressed tomorrow. There's scheduled to be media availability before practice, before the team leaves for Omaha, and then how it's addressed in Omaha, because then it's not just local media at these press conferences. There's going to be media nationally. There's going to be media from Omaha that cover these other teams that are in the College World Series. So it'll be very interesting, because there hasn't really been much since Oregon State clinched their College World Series berth, but tomorrow there will be availability before practice.
I'm eager to hear if Pat Casey has done some reading since then. At the least, he should get the court filing and know what he has on his hands there. Gina Mizell of the Oregonian and Oregon Live, 7 hours ago you posted a story that is a different kind of story. It's Isaac Hodgins and Isaiah Hodgins, and this is about brothers. A defensive tackle and a freshman wide receiver. What turned you onto this story, or how did you find this story?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's always just, you know, interesting when two brothers, especially that are basically a year apart in age, are committed to the same school, or in Isaiah's case, is already on campus and participated in spring practice and was really the gem of Oregon State's recruiting class this year. You know, a big wide receiver, someone that they think is going to play right away. And then shortly after their spring game is when his younger brother, Isaac, committed. And so that's interesting in itself. And then the more that I did some reporting and talked to guys, you know, found this also very cool connection between Dave Baldwin, who is the tight ends coach at Oregon State, and their dad, James, who played for Baldwin at San Jose State. So it's just kind of this interesting story about all these family connections and kind of weaved it all together and sort of explains why that, you know, both those brothers decided to come to Oregon State. And then, of course, the natural hook, I guess, and I didn't bait anybody into saying this was said totally in the context of an interview, but everyone, you know, when you think of brothers at Oregon State, you think of the Rogers brothers, and Isaac came out and said that, you know, we hope someday that people refer to us as the Hodgins brothers and that we can help bring Oregon State back to prominence. So that also is, of course, a hook for Oregon State fans as well, and hoping that they'll become the next set of brothers that make an impact at the school.
We all know Isaiah is the wide receiver who was the crown jewel, 6'4", one-handed catches, quickness, speed, 1,500 receiving yards, 21 touchdowns. How about Isaac? Is Oregon State just taking Isaac to get Isaiah, or can this kid really play?
I think he definitely can play, because he's the type of defensive tackle that they want, somebody that's got a blend of both power and speed and can play in that 3-4 defense that Oregon State wants to play. So I know that he's a guy that Oregon State has been interested in, you know, even as they've been recruiting Isaiah too. And so I don't think it's a case of just that, oh, we've got one brother, so we'll take the other brother as well. And you know, certainly, like I said before, that helps in this recruitment process. You know, Isaac kind of got to see Isaiah go through the whole thing just as his brother and watch him go through it. So he had kind of an idea of how Oregon State coaches and other coaches had talked to Isaiah and sort of just going through that process. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a situation where both guys can make an impact, one on the offensive side of the football and then one on the defensive side of the football.
When James Hodgins played for Dave Baldwin, and this is in your piece, but I want to share it with our listeners, the coach let him skip practices at San Jose State, and it was in October of 1998. They were playing UTEP, and the reason was Stephanie, James's wife in college, was giving birth to Isaiah. And here's Dave Baldwin now at Oregon State, who is getting the kids playing for him. I mean, what a good story.
Yeah, no, there's a funny quote from Baldwin too, that he's like, hey, maybe I just knew down the road that Isaiah would play for me one day, and that's why I let his dad off the hook for a couple of practices. So yeah, these are the types of stories that, you know, you can't make this up as far as all these family connections. So, I think it, you know, again, it shows an example of just kind of these two guys coming together, that the family connections, and then also I think kind of an under maybe an underlying part of this piece, too, is that, you know, Dave Baldwin's a guy on staff who was the offensive coordinator his first year under Gary Anderson, has since been, for lack of a better way of saying it, demoted to a position coach. And I think there are some Oregon State fans that have wondered why he's still on staff. And the bottom line is that he's still, based on his experience, particularly in the Bay Area, still has a lot of cachet up there and has a lot of connections. And this is just one example where a big reason why Oregon State's best recruit is at Oregon State is because of Dave Baldwin, and now his brother is following suit as well.
You're listening to the Oregonian's Gina Mizell. She covers Oregon State. Talking about her story today on Oregon Live about Isaiah and Isaac Hodgins. Isaiah committed to Washington State, withdrew from that. He was offered Michigan, Washington, Colorado, Wisconsin, Oregon, Nebraska. Is it as simple as Dave Baldwin being at Oregon State, and that's why Isaiah ended up there?
I don't think it's that simple, because actually James had mentioned, too, that there are some other connections from that San Jose State staff that he played on that worked at some other schools. You know, someone like a Matt Lubick, who was at Oregon at the time. I know Washington State had a coach that was also there. Nebraska also had a former assistant that, you know, was a connection there. So, again, the football coaching world is small. So if you come from a football family, you probably do know some people on various staffs across the country. So it's not all because of Dave Baldwin, for sure, but definitely that helped. And like I said, the cachet that he brings with some people in the Bay Area certainly continues to have an impact. But I think he, you know, saw the opportunity on his visit. He's going to have a chance to play right away in this offense, and they're going to rely on him to make some plays early on in his career. And then it's the stuff that recruits tend to say all the time, as far as just feeling comfortable on their visit, liking the coaching staff, liking the people that are on the team, and feeling good about it. So that hasn't changed. When I talked to him during spring ball, he was still very gung-ho, obviously, about being a Beaver, especially now that he was actually in it. And so he's sharing that experience with Isaac, and Isaac then decided after the spring game that that's where he wanted to go as well.
Gina Mizell of the Oregonian with us. You know, this Luke Heimlich story has dominated the Beavers news cycle. Scott Barnes is the new athletic director. He's kept his head down here. Have you seen Barnes? Have you talked with Barnes? Has he yet gotten settled in at Oregon State, or is that something that has to happen over the next few months?
Yeah, no, that's another interesting part of not just the Luke Heimlich story, but just about the state of the athletic department right now. I have not seen him recently. Doesn't mean he hasn't been around campus or been around places that I've been. I just haven't happened to run into him. So, you know, as far as I know, it's been going well, maybe up until the last week or so, as far as getting settled in. But you know, his son is now going to come play basketball at Oregon State. I know that was a big thing, because he came to Corvallis before the rest of the family made the move. So I'm sure that will be happening at some point this summer. But yeah, continuing to track his first few months on the job is definitely, you know, something worth monitoring. And I'm actually kind of got a story in the works, too, about him and his relationship with Gary Anderson that, you know, I've been sort of plugging away at for a little while, and that'll pop sometime probably this summer. But yeah, Scott Barnes, you know, it's still the early stages, and certainly, you know, the situation from last week kind of was, I'm sure, a unique thing to put on his plate, you know, early on in his process at Oregon State. But yeah, I have not seen him in the last few days.
He's probably having lunch with Ed Ray daily, breakfast too, just to make sure there's a relationship there. He should sure. be if he's not. Tristan Dekoud was on with us earlier. He's now with the Houston Texans, former Oregon State player drafted in the fifth round. He's on to the NFL. He's a great story. You had a great piece on his upbringing, the stuff he overcame with his father in and out of jail and his mother with cancer and living with his grandfather. And that kid is a great story.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a fantastic and really fun story to report right before the draft. And again, that was I had done some initial interviews for that pretty early on, actually about, you know, around May, June, like last summer. And then you sort of dig into it and you maybe try to get to it during the season. And I just didn't feel like I had the time to fully report it in the way that I wanted to. So then once it became clear that he was a bona fide NFL draft prospect, it was like, okay, this is going to be kind of the peg and the time to do that story. But yeah, I mean, what everything that he overcame, you know, some of the details that he shared with me were, you know, pretty heartbreaking in a way, and also really inspiring that you can overcome all of that and all the junior colleges he went to, and then in coming to Oregon State, really figuring out how to be a very, very good cornerback at the Division I Pac-12 level and to ultimately become a mid-round draft pick. So, yeah, I haven't spoken to him since he got to mini camp, but I hear he had some fighting words about Oregon State winning the Pac-12.
Yeah, he just said they're going to win. Called his shot.
Yeah.
He's a trash talker, though, isn't he?
He is. And trash talker, I mean, yes, he is. But also, and I think I put this in my piece on him before the draft, is that it's almost more endearing than it is like, oh, that guy's a jerk. So it's very playful. You can tell that he definitely does talking both on the field and he doesn't mince his words, and he's not afraid to show that he's confident. So he's definitely is one of the better stories that I've encountered since covering Oregon State football, and hope he does well in the NFL.
How big of an upset would it be if Oregon State won the division? Let's just not even go to the conference.
Oh my God!
He says they're going to win the conference. They win the division. Is that a 100-to-1 shot? Is it the 1980 Olympic hockey team? What is it?
Well, I'm not a gambler, so I don't really know what odds I would put on it. But man, if they beat both Washington and Stanford, and Washington State for that matter, that would be, if Oregon State wins the North, that would make them one of the biggest national stories in college football, I think. And Gary Anderson would be praised as a National Coach of the Year contender. So, but like I said, Tristan Dacute has never lacked for confidence, so I'm not surprised that he would come on your show and call his shot. But yeah, he's fun in that way for sure.
He's not even calling his shot. He's not on the team anymore.
He's saying,
yeah, now that I'm gone, they're going to win the whole damn thing. And by the way, Kenyon Barner, former Duck, now with the Carolina Panthers, just tweeted at me, ha ha, he must be a comedian. So he's looking at Dacute going, you're nuts, kid. But, you know, stranger things have happened, and at least there's hope at Oregon State.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of fans that I've talked to this offseason and sort of the lead up to 2017, I think most people believe that a bowl game is a possibility, and I tend to agree with them. I mean, there's a stretch from late September to about mid-October that's really tough, where they play Washington, USC, Colorado, and Stanford in back-to-back-to-back-to-back weeks, and so that's going to be really tough, but November kind of lets up a little bit, and so I think you can find 6 wins on that schedule, but they need to find a quarterback. That's still the major, major thing that still lingers as we go into fall camp, but I think it's reasonable to think that a bowl game is a possibility for Oregon State, which I think, again, would be a nice step for Gary Anderson in year 3 as he continues to try to rebuild this program.
Let's play a fun game that I like to play with beat reporters. You tell me if this is a win or a loss, and no gun to your head here, but they're at Colorado State to start the season. Win or loss?
I'll give them a win there.
That's one. Portland State in week 2, win or loss?
Win.
That's
win.
Two wins. They're 2-0. They're feeling good. They got Minnesota at home in their third game. Win or loss?
I'm going to go win there.
They're 3-0. They might be ranked at this point, 25th. Maybe getting some votes. They open the conference at Washington State in week 4.
I'll say loss there. Pullman's tough.
3-1. Beaver fans hate you. Washington in week 5 at home.
Loss.
3-2. At USC in week 6.
Loss.
3-3. Colorado at home.
I'll give them a win there just because Colorado's got to replace a lot.
4-3, heading to Stanford on a Thursday, October 26th. What do they do there?
Loss.
4-4, they're at Cal on November 4th.
I'll give them a win there. That's kind of who knows what that new coaching staff's going to do by that point, but I'll give them a win there.
They're 5-4. People are starting to talk about bowl games. There's 3 games to go. They're at Arizona November 11th. Win or loss?
Oof, okay. I'll say win there as well, but I feel like that those back-to-back Cal, Arizona, perhaps, you know, you split those two. I don't know, but give them a win. That's fine.
They're 6-4. They got Arizona State at home on November 18th.
Win. I'll give them a win.
They're 7-4, and you and Tristan DeCoud are high-fiving. They're at Oregon for the Civil War. Are they an 8-win team or a 7-5 team?
Oh, my gosh.
Gina, okay. Mizell's about to say Oregon State's going to win 8.
Oh, gosh. Man.
This is why I like to play this game.
I know, right? Okay. I think 7-5 is more likely. So again, right. I stick to my hold that they'll win either at Arizona or they'll win at Cal, but don't win both. So I'll give them the Civil War win, but say that they'll be 7-5. Is that fair?
Gina Mizell says 7-5. What say you? Tweet it at me, Gina. Thank you. Great stuff.
Okay. Thanks, John.
All right, Gina Mizell is predicting 7-5 for the Beavers. Beaver fan, tweet at me at John Canzano BFT. Tell me. What's Oregon State's football record in the regular season next year? You tell me as well why you believe they're a bull team at
503-417-7575. Here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Phone lines are open. You want to talk about Luke Heimlich? So be it. If you're an Oregon State fan, especially want to hear from you if you're an Oregon State fan who is listening to the show and is disappointed in Pat Casey and the baseball program, or better yet, are you disappointed in other Beavers fans? And if you're among those Beaver fans who feels like you've dug in and you've got good ground to stand on, by all means, call into the show and say, here's why I think a registered sex offender is no big deal on this team. Say it. People have said some dumb things on this show over the years. I've said dumb things. 503-417-7575. You tell me. Take some phone calls. Greg is in Sandy. Greg, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, John. I definitely don't think a registered sex offender is okay to be on the team. But
I agree.
That being said, I just want to make a comment on him being drafted. I don't see him drafted at all. I think it's worse, in a sense, looking at it. If he gets drafted in later rounds, you're almost saying to, look, I guess the team organization that we'll take a flyer on him, but not a first round pick. You know what I mean? We won't do a first round, but we'll do it later. I think it just looks worse for the team. And
you see it in sports all the time. You see just diminished morality in sports all the time. And you got to take a stand. Like some things, like I take stands all the time. I take them on the show on a daily basis. I take it with management here at Alpha Media. I take it with the other shows, I take a stand all the time. Like, you know, we don't have to agree on everything. There's just some things that I like, some things I don't like, some things I'm not okay with. People keep asking the question, like, why shouldn't he be able to rehabilitate himself and play baseball? Let's take that logic to another step. He's also ineligible to babysit my children. Okay? You okay with that? You okay with me thinking that? And I'm sure you all agree with that. You'd go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So I think Major League Baseball teams and universities like Oregon State, Oregon, others, have to determine for themselves what is their level of comfort with a registered sex offender. And my hope would be that Oregon State, Oregon, the universities that I'm regularly around and cover, who feel good about themselves, who say, hey, look, we've got to take stands on campuses all the time for things that we support, things we don't support. This is one we're not okay with. That would be my hope. Marsha's in Portland. Marsha, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for picking up. I'm a teacher in Portland, and I want to take some issue with you. I've never listened to your show before. I just happened upon it. And, you know, you make comments about people's ethical behavior, their moral fiber. You talk about this young man, that if somebody picks him, you know, this is going to reflect on them. And, you know, I would like to call your attention to just an idea. Let's just say He's a criminal. He had a crime, a felony, a misdemeanor, right?
The felony,
you know,
yeah.
How does that impact him throwing a little white ball around a field?
Well, there's a victim here.
So, but this is all in the
past. Wait. Marcia, back up. There's a victim here. There's a four-year-old little girl. According to the court filings, he put his fingers inside a four-year-old little girl. You okay with that?
As a teacher, you know that's not okay.
You're not okay with that. I know that. Should Luke Heimlich be allowed? Hey, hold on, Marcia. Should Luke Heimlich be allowed to be a teacher?
Of adults?
Of kids.
Well, yeah, but maybe not of children. Maybe not. That would not be a good particular. So that's a career that is directly impacted by his history. How does throwing a little white ball around a field have to do anything?
Because I'm glad you asked that. I'm glad you asked that. I'm not going to cut you off. I want you to stay on. I'm glad you asked that because Oregon State University is a public university that receives public funding. And when Oregon State University says to women on campus that we take sex offenses seriously, we take your campus safety seriously, and then they put a registered sex offender in the freshman dorms without notifying other students, and they put a registered sex offender on a baseball team with Oregon State University across its chest. Do you believe what they're saying, Marcia, or do you think it's lip service?
I actually went to OSU, and his crime is not against college-level women. He's not a rapist.
Oh, okay, so he's a molester. Let's let him in.
He's not a rapist of adult women.
So you're okay.
As a juvenile who committed a crime with a minor, and when does he get to leave it behind?
When she does. How about that?
How about you guys are basically creating a situation where this kid will probably kill himself because there's no redemption for him.
You're saying that, not me. I think there's redemption that doesn't have to involve baseball. Why do you think he needs baseball to be redeemed? That's the bigger question.
You haven't connected the dots for me on baseball and pedophilia.
But why does he need baseball? Why does he need Oregon State? He's welcome to go play, have a professional career. Nobody's standing in his way. Why does
apparently
he need baseball?
He's good at well, I don't even like sports, frankly. But listen, apparently he's good at baseball.
But why does he need it to be redeemed? Yeah, it's to me, I feel like you're diminishing him.
No, listen, he could go be a veterinarian or whatever he wants to be, but you tell me how playing on the baseball team is affected by his mistake as a young guy with pedophilia.
Because when you are Luke Heimlich and you're a registered sex offender and you're suiting up at Oregon State, I have a hard time looking at Oregon State and saying, this is who you are as a college campus. You brought a registered sex offender who molested a little girl over a number of years on various occasions onto your campus. You gave him a scholarship. You put your school name across his chest. How is that not representative of the university, Marcia? In every way it is.
I'm a lifelong resident of Oregon. I went to Oregon State. I am not bothered by that at all. I think he should be clear that around young kids, yes, I can see restrictions, but he's playing with other men.
There are young kids who attend Oregon State baseball camps. There are young kids in the stadium. There are young children on that campus, Marcia. Oh, Marcia.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.